How to Bring Men to Christ by R.A. Torrey, Chapter 6, being read by Peter John Parisis, also known as Brian Dean. Dealing with those who entertain false hopes. Number 1. Among those who entertain false hopes, perhaps the largest class are those who expect to be saved by their righteous lives. These persons are easily known by such sayings as these: I am doing the best I can. I do more good than evil. I am not a great sinner. I have never done anything very bad. Galatians 3:10 is an excellent passage to use, for it shows that all those who are trusting in their works are under the curse of the law, and that there is no hope on the ground of the law for anyone who does not, quote, continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, unquote. James 2:10 is also useful. Galatians 2:16 and Romans 3:19 and 20 are very effective by showing that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. Matthew 5, verse 20. All these passages show the kind of righteousness God demands, and that no man's righteousness comes up to God's standard, and that if a man wishes to be saved, he must find some other means of salvation than his own deeds. It is sometimes well in using these passages to say to the inquirer, you do not understand the kind of righteousness that God demands, or you would not talk as you do. Now let us turn to his word and see what kind of righteousness it is that God demands. There is another way of dealing with this class, by the use of such passages as Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Romans 2, verse 16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. These passages show that God looks at the heart, hold the inquirer right to that point. Every man, when brought face to face with that, must tremble, because he knows that whatever his outward life may be, his heart will not stand the scrutiny of God's eye. No matter how self-righteous a man is, we need not be discouraged, for somewhere in the depths of every man's heart is the consciousness of sin, and all we have to do is to work away until we touch that point. Every man's conscience is on our side. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38 can be used when a man says, I am doing the best I can, or doing more good than evil. Say to him, you are greatly mistaken about that. So far from doing more good than evil, do you know that you have broken the first and greatest of God's laws? Then show him the passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. John chapter 6, verse 29. Show that the one thing that God demands is faith, and that without that it is impossible to please God. And John chapter 16, verse 9, shows that unbelief in Christ is the greatest sin. John chapter 3, verse 36, shows that the question of eternal life depends solely upon a man's accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10, verse 28 and 29, that the sin which brings the heaviest punishment is that of treading underfoot the Son of God. Before using this latter passage, it will be well to say, you think you are very good, but do you know that you are committing the most awful sin in God's sight which a man can commit? If he replies no, then say, well, let me show you from God's word that you are. Then turn to this passage and read it with great solemnity and earnestness. Number 2, another class of those who entertain false hopes are those who think God is too good to damn anyone. When anyone says this, you can reply, we know nothing of God's goodness, but what we learn from the Bible, and we must go to that book to find out the character of God's goodness. Let us turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 2, 4, and 5. Having read the verses, you can say something like this, now, my friend, you see that the purpose of God's goodness is to lead you to repentance, not to encourage you in sin. And when we trample upon his goodness, then we are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. John chapter 8, verse 21 and 24 in John chapter 3, verse 36, will show the man that however good God may be, that he will reject all who reject his Son. Still, another way to deal with these men is by showing them from John chapter 5, verse 40, 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 11, or Ezekiel 33, verse 11, that it is not so much God who damns men, as men who damn themselves in spite of God's goodness, because they will not come to Christ and accept the life freely offered. You can say, God is not willing that any should perish, and he offers life freely to you. But there is one difficulty in the way. Let us turn to John chapter 5, verse 40, and see what the difficulty is. Then read the passage, quote, "Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life," unquote, and say, "My friend, here is the difficulty. You won't come. Life is freely offered to you, but you will not accept it. You must perish." 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 and 9, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, show how the, quote, good, unquote, God deals with persons who persist in sin. Sometimes this last passage can be effectively used in this way. You say, God is too good to damn anyone. Now let us see what God himself says in his word. Then turn to the passage and read, quote, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," unquote. Repeat the passage over and over again until it has been driven home. Number 3, a third class of those who entertain false hopes are those who say, "I am trying to be a Christian." John chapter 1, verse 12 will show them that it is not trying to be a Christian or trying to live a better life or trying to do anything that God asks of us, but simply to receive Jesus Christ, who did it all. And you can ask the inquirer, will you now stop your trying and simply receive Jesus as Savior? Acts chapter 16, verse 31 shows that God does not ask us to try what we can do, but trust Jesus and what he will do and has done. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 25 shows that we are not to be justified by trying to do, quote, "but freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," unquote, on the simplest condition of faith. Number 4, still another class of those who entertain false hopes are those who say, "I feel I am going to heaven," or, "I feel I am saved." Show them from John chapter 3, verse 36, that it is not a question of what they feel, but what God says. And what God says distinctly in his word is that, quote, "He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him," unquote. One afternoon I was talking with a lady who a few weeks before had lost her only child. At the time of her child's death, she had been deeply interested, but her serious impressions had largely left her. I put her to the question, "Do you not wish to go where your little one has gone?" She at once replied, "I expect to." "What makes you think you will?" I said. She replied, "I feel so. I feel that I will go to heaven when I die." I then asked her if there was anything she could point to in the Word of God that gave her a reason for believing that she was going to heaven when she died. "No," she said, "there is not." Then she turned and questioned me, saying, "Do you expect to go to heaven when you die?" "Yes," I replied, "I know I shall." "How do you know it?" she says. "Have you any word from God for it?" "Yes," I answered, and turned her to John chapter 3, verse 36. She was then led to see the difference between a faith that rested upon her feelings and a faith that rested upon the Word of God. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 can also be used in the following way. You can say, "There was a man in the Bible who felt he was all right, but was all wrong. Let me read you about him." Then read about the Pharisee who was so sure that he was right, but who was all the time an unforgiven sinner. And make the inquirer see how untrustworthy our feelings are, and what the ground of assurance is. It is God's Word. Proverbs 14, verse 12, can also be used as showing that, unquote. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, unquote. Number 5, the last class of those who entertain false hopes are those who say they are saved, though they are leading sinful lives. In the case of many forms of sin, a good passage to use is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. 1 John 2:29 will also in many cases sweep away this false hope. 1 John 5:4 through 5 is used as showing that one who is really born of God overcomes the world, and the fact that they are living in sin and are not overcoming the world is evidence that they have not been born of God.